You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
I'm just going to fade that down because we have a very special guest in the studio on tour at the moment and very lucky to have him here in Eastside Radio. One of my heroes and absolute incredible musician, Michael Franti.
Thank you, Matt. How you doing today?
Very, very good.
I like what you're playing here. It's perfect for an afternoon chill out vibe, you know.
Isn't it just? Yeah, man. Absolutely. And you're on tour at the moment. You just said it's going well. It's been a long one by the sounds of it.
Yeah, so we had our first shows in America at the end of April, and then we had a couple weeks off. Then the middle of May, we started touring in the States and Europe, and now we're here.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's the end of, I don't know, 100 shows or something, the last three shows. And it also coincides with a really great celebration that we are celebrating in our band family, which is that Carl Jung, my bass player, and I, we just celebrated 30 years of playing music together this week.
No way.
And it's also, also his birthday. So
happy birthday,
Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went out to dinner last night and just kind of reminisced over how things are so different in 30 years of playing music. My first tour that I did, I remember being in Europe in the early or late 80s. My first tour was in 1988 of Europe. Mm-hmm. And I would buy postcards. And as soon as I'd buy them, I'd buy stamps and I'd put the stamps on them. I'd address them. And then as whatever city I was in, I would sort of write, dear mom or dear kids or dear, whoever, and then pop them in the mailbox so that I'd have it all, done in advance so that it would be easy. Because there was no email. And there was no cell phones. And there was no text messaging. And so, just to think of where we are from that time to now, the age of like instant communication with hundreds of thousands of people through social media at one time, and the great things and the not so great things that brings up for all of us,
Yeah. And yet you're still traveling around the world doing what you love.
Yeah.
And still finding that inspiration, which is really cool, man.
Yeah. Carl and I were talking last night that, when he first linked up with me, he was moved by the message in the music, Carl's an incredibly studied musician. He studied jazz and classical music, and then every genre of pop from reggae to soul to Motown, everything. He knows it inside and out. And so it was great for me at that point in my life to have somebody who could come in and share that wealth of wisdom in order to help me to convey, the ideas and feelings that I had that I wanted to share with the world through music.
Yeah. And you've spent a lot of time with them on the road. You must have some incredible stories. And it's important to find someone like that who you can spend so much time with, and someone maybe that, like musically, you obviously share a lot of similarities, or you have a lot of things in common, or you respect each other musically. That's
He's
what you want, isn't it?
I mean, 30 years is longer than any childhood friend that I still keep up with on a regular basis. Longer than my marriage, my first marriage.
Yeah.
and so he's like, so I gave him a happy anniversary card last night.
Great. And so you're in town playing tomorrow night?
Yeah, so we're doing two things.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're do you know where it is?
Paddington Town Hall.
At the Paddington Town Hall.
Tonight.
We're doing this thing.
So this just across the road.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Or next door.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're doing this thing that is in collaboration with Wanderlust, and it is a yoga jam. And what that is, for anybody who doesn't know, is hundreds of people come and practice yoga while I play live acoustically. And throughout the set, there's somebody else who's teaching the class and I'm playing instrumental music. And then every now and then I'll drop into a verse of a song. And I always start with a couple songs at the beginning to get things kicked off. And we do a little set of acoustic music afterwards. So it's a great experience.
Okay.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
And if you've never been on a yoga mat before, that's a great way to,
people like their yoga here in Sydney for sure. So it'd be some takers.
And then tomorrow at the Enmore with the whole band.
And I was going to say, I saw that you've opened a place in Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got a similar vibe, the yoga, music slash retreat,
so
resorty thing.
One time in 2006, I had just finished a long world tour and it ended here in Australia. Mm. And I was like, let me go to Bali and just like drop in for a second. So I went there and I was went up country and I was really moved by the culture of Balinese people. The idea of Trihita Karana, which means the three ways to happiness. And that happiness is not just, oh, I got a new watch, so I'm happy. The three ways to happiness are human to human harmony and connection, human to nature, and human to spirit or God. And when all those things come together, then we all feel happy. It's like a happiness is like a collective experience. And, you know, I kind of had my heart blasted open. I was going through a really challenging time emotionally and I healed. And I was like, I want to create this opportunity for other people. So in 2007, I bought a little piece of land near Ubud and I built five rooms and I put the yoga studio on the top floor of it so it'd have the best view. And people started coming. And we opened in 2010. And now we have 40 rooms and two restaurants and a music venue. Mm-hmm. And so it's a place of for wellness. But, you know, during the pandemic, especially, I learned that wellness wasn't just, am I fitting in my jeans? It was like, am I happy? Am I finding creative outlets in my life? Are my relationships strong? Is my relationship with myself strong? Mm-hmm. And so we created Soulshine to be a place that would be about all those things. Mm-hmm. And primarily a place that you could go deep, but also have fun. And that the power of play is super important in us finding wellness. And if it's not joyful, then it's really not sustainable, you know, and people try something and then they quit, you know? And so, that's what our place is all about. And we do hundreds of retreats there every year with different, teachers, everything from, you know, yoga, of course, but songwriting retreats and book writers retreats and all kinds of dance, Pilates, just groups of people who want to spend time together, who come there. And it's called Soulshine Bali.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And I saw that there's a few guitars set up around or something like that. So
yeah, we have guitars in every room.
I mean, yeah. I play saxophone and I don't know if like you're going to be able to fit me in because I'm going to be too noisy.
No, we got you, man. We got you covered.
That's well, great.
You can get up and jam with me, man. I play there all the time. So my wife, Sarah, and my son, Taj, we actually live on the property there. And so probably once a week, I'll just grab the guitar and
get up on the little stage. You're not living in the States anymore.
You know, for the last 5 years, about a few months right before COVID happened, we were out there and we stayed there. And, you know, we go back there to tour. So I'm there, you know, 5 months of the year. But my son is in school in Bali. He speaks Indonesian. He speaks Balinese as well. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, that's awesome. And tomorrow night, you're playing at the Enmore Theatre.
Yeah.
And actually, who's the support for that one? I saw it there, but now I the reason why I ask is I saw that you had Chaka supporting you in Brisbane.
Yeah, they were great.
And I'm a bit of a fan of theirs. Yeah. It's great. And
they were amazing.
But you Goldfang. And Goldfang. Yeah. So that'll be awesome. They're supporting tonight. And tickets still available if you want to go. Well, you should definitely go. It's going to be a great show. Actually, what can people expect from the show? Are you doing stuff from the new album, The Big, Big Love?
Yeah, we always mix it up and we always do songs that people have known and loved for decades and new things and things that no one's ever heard, things that I've just written and want to try out. And but it's always a spirit event. I believe that feeling is healing. When you feel whatever it is that is locked up inside and you move through it, then you grow and you heal and you evolve. And that's what our music has always been about, is trying to find a way to get to the other side of things.
Yeah. I was wondering if we could go back in time a little bit.
Sure.
Are you cool with that?
I'm cool.
Because before this you had another thing, but you did have a band called the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy. Uh-huh. And this track that I'm just going to play a bit now, was a huge track. It was, I think it's got to pay a bit of respect to Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah.
Let's just hear a bit now. It's a bit of an intro in here.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
One Nation, under God, has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. Television, the drug of a nation. Breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV, its satellite links are United States of unconsciousness. Apathetic, therapeutic, and extremely addictive. The methadone metronome, pumping out 150 channels 24 hours a day. You can flip through all of them.
Huge, huge track there, and we have the vocalist from this track with us here, Michael Franti. And this was all the way back in 1991.
Yeah.
Tell us about the making of this track, but also this band.
Yeah, well, the band is called Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy. And as I looked around, my heroes were, as a black kid growing up in America, were either athletes or entertainers who had very short shelf lives. They'd have like a few years of big success, and then they'd be thrown on the scrap heap with the rest of, you know. And there weren't, I didn't see like doctors and business people and, you know, entrepreneurs as heroes, you know, because they just didn't exist. And so that's where the name came from. And this song, Television, the Drug of the Nation, yes, Gil Scott-Heron had this song called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, which is a big, big song in my life personally. And I saw at that time that there was, it was the start of like cable news and cable television, and that you, there was hundreds of channels and you keep flipping through, and it was like, felt like it was nothing worth watching. And, you know, fast forward to today, it's like, that's what our algorithm is for us. Our scrolling is that, you know, flipping through channel after channel, and how it becomes a drug. Yeah. And it anesthetizes us, and it makes us feel really crappy about ourselves at time, because we compare ourselves to others who live apparently this, you know, really glamorous life, and at least on their feed, or they have a six pack of abs, or they do something, you know, they, you can backflip off a building into water. I don't know what it could be, but it makes us feel less than who we are. And so this song is an important song for me today because of that. And you know, it makes me concerned about where we're headed with my six-year-old son's generation, who has grown up completely with this, and just seeing him when he gets access to, you know, YouTube, and he'll scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and just doesn't stop. And so we've gone through periods where we're like no screens, and we've really limited his screen time to, you know, short periods of time, only on the weekends now. And but it's like, even doing that, I don't think there's a way to really escape what it has done to us. And then politically and socially, it's like elections are being controlled by bot farms now, and whoever has the most money and can pay off the bots to say what they want and manipulate groups of people to just turn elections even 1 or 2% one way or the other can change the way the whole world is. And that's really frightening. And then when you throw AI into it, when the AI starts to have its own ideas about the way the world should be. Totally. And then, you know, then we've gone past the singularity, and we're really close to that. So all these things I feel are like are important conversations, first of all, for families to have with their children, and then for families and communities to have as nations and as cities, as schools, as all these things. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, certainly we don't have a TV in our home, and I'm totally on on point with you with that. Like, we're like the kids, limited screen time, and it's all you can do. But it is kind of like stopping the tide.
Yeah,
it's like it's part of our life now.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to go onto this next track because
all right.
When I grew up in Auckland, I got my hold of this album, Home. It's okay. Your debut yeah. album. Listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Thank you. Cool. And this track, I think, was the first one that I was aware of. And I think I might have found out about it because I'm a jazzer. I knew Charlie Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was on this or possibly wrote it with you. Great track. And once again, really important track for so many reasons. But tell us about it.
So this is a song, Positive, and like as you mentioned, Charlie Hunter is this incredible 8-string jazz guitar player. He also plays the harmonica on this song. I worked in a guitar shop called Subway Guitars in Berkeley, California. It was kind of like this agitator, activist guitar shop. And one day, Charlie walks in, and there's all those punk rockers who were in there talking. And he had a basketball under his arm, and I love basketball. But not a lot of punk rockers did, who were my friends, you know. And so I was like, who is this dude? And then he sits down and he starts playing this crazy jazz chords and like this beautiful music. And I was like, who is this guy? So we started collaborating, and just like, you know, he'd come over to the shop, and I lived behind the guitar shop. He'd bring his guitar back there and he'd start playing some cool jazz riffs, and I would rap on top of it. We would just sort of sit there and freestyle for hours at a time. And at the time, it was really at the height in San Francisco, which is arguably ground zero for the HIV and AIDS crisis in America. I fell in love, and before I slept with this woman, I wanted to get tested to see if perhaps I had HIV. And so during that time, you had to wait 2 weeks for those results to come back. And then they would send you a letter. And so I had wanted to write a song about AIDS, and the first song that I wrote was like, F the government, F the system, because they're not responding to this crisis. But then as I got tested myself, I realized that it really wasn't about what everything was going on out there. It was about what was going on inside my own heart and in my own mind of, you know, who I slept with, who they slept with, and who they slept with. And so I wrote a very different song, which is me, very low monotone thing over this really melancholy jazz chords and beat, and talking about, you know, that experience of waiting, you know, for the results to come and how my life would change if it was positive.
Yeah, well, it was huge at that time, and I think it got featured on Red Hot and Cool.
Yeah, it's on Red Hot and Cool album, yeah.
Which is a great thing to be a part of for sure. The rest of the album, we don't have time to play it all today, but People in the Middle, Caught Without an Umbrella, Red Beans and Rice, Hole in the Bucket.
I love this. I love that record. It's one that, you know, every now and then it'll come up in my, you know, if I have Spotify on, and I'll be like, wow, that song's really cool. Oh, that's us. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
That's cool. That means you really love it. That's great. And they've stood the test of time. This version of this song, also just great. It's a creation of the devil,
a rebel. Yes.
Let's have a quick listen for a sec.
Bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert, dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd, scratch my itch like a needle on the record, full of life like a man going to Mecca, sky high like an eagle.
Listening to Eastside Radio, and in the studio with me, I've got Michael Franti, and he's performing tomorrow night at the Enmore Theater here in Sydney.
Man, you give me all these ideas to what to play tomorrow. Like, I haven't played that one in a while. Acoustic,
I'll be happy, that's for sure. I mean this song, it's got such a great feel, and the everything about it, so the pacing of the lyrics and the rhyming, and it feels like hip-hop, but it's beautiful acoustic guitar, so credit to this version, man. And that's from a live album, I believe, acoustic album.
Yeah, we did this album called Songs from the Front Porch, which is basically acoustic guitar and rapping on top of it. And I'm working on another album right now that's all acoustic songs. And, you know, that's my instrument is the acoustic guitar. And so I sit and I write songs on it. But then most of the time I have him, you know, bring to the band or bring him to other producers and say, what would you put around this? But when I go back and listen to a lot of the early demos, I'm like, wow, that was really beautiful, just the guitar and the voice. So we're doing another record like that.
We don't have a lot of time before you got to go, but we can't go through every album because you've done a lot. You've done a lot of albums. But you have worked with some other heroes of mine, Sly and Robbie.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, man, you've got to tell me about that. Oh, so man. I don't know which one to play first. Maybe Say Hey or Rude Boys?
Say Hey is a great
Say
one.
Say Hey, yeah. So tell us about working with these legends.
So Sly and Robbie were, well, for those who don't know, Sly and Robbie are the greatest reggae rhythm section ever, period, the end. Sly Dunbar played drums. Robbie Shakespeare played the bass. They played on literally thousands of records and some of the biggest songs in reggae music with all of the biggest artists. There's just too many to name. And I was a huge fan, and one of my favorite records was this album called the Sly and Robbie Dub Experience. And it was just a lot of their songs that they had done with other artists that were done in dub. So you could really just hear and feel the drums and the bass. There was no vocals. It was just like a lot of great echo and remixing. And so I would listen to that song over and over, that album over and over again in my car. And so one day we got to play a festival, and Sly and Robbie were there with Taxi, and they did some songs with Black Uhuru as well. So another one of my favorite bands. And so I got to meet them, and I was backstage, and I had this song, Say Hey, I Love You. And I started just playing it on the acoustic guitar. And Sly was like, man, that song, how wicked. Should come to Jamaica, make a rhythm for it. So a few months later, I went down to Jamaica, and we worked on a couple different records, this All Rebel Records album and the Yellfire album. And the thing that I love about them so much is that they were so open to experimentation and trying different things. So at that time, they were working with No Doubt. They were working with Sinead O'Connor, in addition to doing great records with Beanie Man and Bounty Killer and so many great dancehall artists. And so we're in the studio, and I just played the acoustic version down on the track, and then they said, okay, you kind of like step back now, and we're going to go to work on it.
Right.
And they started making this beat. Robbie played this bass line on it. And in Jamaica, it's different. Like most studios and outside of Jamaica, they're like air conditioned, and people are not allowed to come and like listen or hang out. It's almost taboo. Yeah. Like, don't come in our studio, you're going to steal our idea or something. But in Jamaica, like, you can have 20 people in the control room that you don't even know. They're just there hanging out, smoking weed and drinking. And and so when this track came on, they all started dancing to it. And we were like, wow, man, maybe we have something here. And so that song came out in the fall, or so, like September of 2009. And it went to radio a little bit, and it was our first song we ever had on the radio and in America. And then it died right around Christmas time because it was like kind of a summery vibe of a song. And I'm talking about in the States, so Christmas wasn't in summer. And then the next March, there was a radio program in this tiny little town called Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And he had heard the song on vacation in Mexico. He was in this bar. They had the album on repeat. And every time the song came on, him and his kids and his wife would get up and they'd dance to the song. So he goes back to that station, and it was a top 40 station. He goes, all right, here, I'm going to play the new Britney Spears song followed by Michael Franti and Spearhead. And here we go. Try it out. And so we beat out Britney Spears for like the rate Pump It or Dump It on the radio, you know. And the song took off on that station. Beautiful. And then it was like one of those magic stories where you hear, like, suddenly organically overnight all these other stations started picking it up, and it went into the top 10.
Awesome, man. Well, it kind of brings us up to your latest release, Big Big Love.
Yeah.
And this beautiful track, Nobody Like You. Tell us about how you've changed as an artist, because you can hear your music change through the decades, through the years. And tell us what that journey's been like.
You know, I always follow my heart, and I listen to whatever's inside me, and then I try to interpret it. And I believe that music is the sound of feelings. And so we're just trying to find a way to express to somebody else who's listening what it is that we feel. And I used to think that collaborating with other people would make it be less of what I feel. But then I started working with some other writers and producers, and I realized that, like, sometimes I would get stuck in a place like, I got this thing that I want to say, but it's not coming out the way I want to say it. And then somebody else would go, I've got 10 other ideas. Maybe one of them will fit. And so it was just, it just flowed faster. So now I really enjoy that kind of collaboration of writing. I still write a lot of songs just by myself, but then I'll go to another person. I'll go, hey, listen, this, what do you think? And I've got a few friends who are like, hey, maybe this word on the chorus could be a little bit different, or maybe melodically in the pre-chorus you could do something different, so when the chorus comes in, it sounds unique again and fresh. So I always write, like, literally every day I'll write something.
Really?
It'll either be just a phone message, me singing into my phone, or playing with my guitar and making something up, or making a beat. And and then I've got Carl and the guys in my band and team, and they throw their own spirit onto it.
It's great, man. Let's have a quick listen to a little bit of this track before we say goodbye.
Inside you, there's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you.
Well, that's a great way to go out. Nobody like you, Michael Franti.
Yeah, thank you, man. And this has been a great trip down memory lane for me.
And
we're excited to be back here. And like I said, we're doing the Wanderlust Yoga Jam event this evening.
Yes.
At Paddington.
Paddington Town Hall. Very Town close Hall. To the studio.
Okay.
It's literally in the same building.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
You should just hang out.
I should just hang out. And then we go tomorrow night over to the Enmore, and we're going to rock the house. The band is on fire right now, and super excited to be here. So.
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming in, Michael. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and have a chat.
Thanks,
man. Have a great show.
All right.
Thanks.
Cheers.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.